Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Good Friday morning. And if you're just getting up, you're taking out the cobwebs. Maybe Brady should have done that on the last drive last night. If you're just waking up, Bears over the Bucks 2019 with Tom Brady ready for a fourth and short. He actually thought apparently it was third down, had an extra down to play with, lost track of what was going on the field. You just heard earlier there, Bruce Arians just seconds ago defending him. How do you defend the indefensible? Kind of got to know what the down and distance is, right? Even if you're the GOAT and have been so for 20 years. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. We're asking the Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin Nation on the other side, even though all the attention today, all day long, is going to be on Tom Brady. Excuse me, if the Bears are a legit playoff team, we want to go the other way. 71% of you have said, despite the fact that they're 4-1, they came back in Detroit with Trubisky throwing 3 fourth-quarter touchdown passes. In week two, they came from 16 down on the road to win. They got to 3-1 and eventually 4-1. 71% saying, nope. Burner social. Is this Kevin Durant? No. Burner social.
Wow.
And we thought we were going to get him on the show. Jay was making all the progress.
I just blew it up. Until now.
Zubin with a zinger.
He hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed and said the Bucks handed them that game. So many fluky wins. Can't get them there all year. So that is
Matt Nagy's looking okay now, huh?
No doubt. 4-1 is 4-1, no matter what.
That happens, though. Teams that are at the bottom rise to the top every single year, and there's a fluky game here, and there's a they're not going to beat them there. It happens,
doesn't
and then ha- you
no,
look up
to everybody, kids.
No,
every Detroit.
Not to say everybody. I say every year, Jay. There's a team that we sit around and we say, "Nah, it's not real." We did it with San Francisco every week. Not really.
Just a year ago,
Jimmy Garoppolo. Nope, not. Oh, they didn't play anybody. Look who they beat. And then you look up. You're like, damn, they getting ready to go to the Super Bowl.
Serviceable quarterback, running game, and defense.
You have that conversation about what Jay just said. Serviceable quarterback. He can't beat you with his arm. He makes a throw or two. Oh, they're running the ball. They're gashing people. They're playing defense. And then you look up and you watching them in the Super Bowl. And this is the recipe for Chicago Bear football. If you go back and you look at the history of the Chicago Bears, as far as you can go back, as far as you can remember, they've never been a passing team. They've always played defense. They get after guys, and they run the football. Even with Mike Ditka, go all the way back, because that's about as far as I can go back. Okay. Can't go back to Papa Hallis and all those. I can go back right here. That's it. Run the football, play defense. Lovie Smith. Run the defense, run the football, play defense. Rex Grossman went to the Super Bowl.
He did.
Seriously. So this is who they are. And they may have got it right. They probably got it right.
Nick Foles may have a long-term home.
Yeah.
That's the other story to talk
about.
He's
31 years old. I know he has a history of being injury prone. But if they're going to play the Panthers. That's their next game. The Rams, okay, tough. Saints. Titans, who knows?
Where's the Ram game at?
The Ram in L.A.
Oh.
In L.A.
Okay. Because if it was in Chicago, then I would be leaning towards Chicago in a game just because the last time that I remember Jared Goff going to Chicago, he struggled in Chicago
Sunday
because of the
night,
weather.
It was cold.
It was the weather. And that weather, you played in Chicago. That weather right now is probably getting ready to turn.
Real quick, Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests are on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, including Bart Scott. We'll get his thoughts on the Brady, I guess, brain lock coming up. He'll be with us at 7:15. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract,
no compromise.
He was just
having a small conversation.
It's okay to have a senior moment. I have senior moments all the time.
No, he was asking them if he could go and get some water 4 blocks away. He was
just trying to... Four blocks away.
Or it's the old college. It's the start of the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. We want to hear your opinion. So we heard from Ed Berner Social... Kevin Durant. We heard from Key. We heard from Jay. We want to hear from you on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Hit us up. You got the old school. Hit us up on the phone. 888-SAY-ESPN. If you want to go new school, hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed at Key J and Z and get on the air. Get your thoughts heard just like Burner Social did. The third reference for the Burner Social. You owe me something, Burner Social. I got to mention this.
Jay was looking at me because I was looking puzzled, but I'm going to have to ask you that off off air because it has nothing to do with this.
Okay, got it. All right. Some people would know the show off the air sometimes much better than the show on the air.
Very entertaining. Yeah. Both shows very entertaining.
It could be another opportunity for us.
Very expensive to get the off air show though.
Yes, because the beep guy would have to be keeping his finger on the button constantly, the entire show. Yes. I'm not sure how entertaining that would be. So seven teams make the playoffs this year because we're going 7 in the AFC, 7 in the NFC. For the first time in 30 years, the playoff format is changing. It had been 6 in each conference since 1990. So it's very interesting that if you need to make the 7 line, and the guys earlier said the Bears are right on the periphery at the 6 or 7 spot despite their 4-1 start. The Football Power Index here at ESPN, which we rate everything statistically percentage-wise, get this, guys. The Football Power Index has the Bears with the 8th best chance to make the playoffs, just behind the cut line they would need to be. Here are the teams in order. Jay, we were running through them right earlier this morning. If you were with us, Jay asked Key to say, all right, who are the teams that are better? In order, according to the Football Power Index, Packers, number 1. Seattle, number 2. Rams, number 3. Bucks, number 4. Saints, number 5. Dallas, number 6.
I'm good with that.
Yeah, someone's got to win that division, right? San Francisco at 7, and the Bears coming in just 2 percentage points behind. San Francisco about a 59% chance to make the playoffs. The Bears at 57. So ESPN right now is on the outside looking in.
I would say I know what Bears fans are going to say. This is like the typical response. Well, we just beat the Buccaneers. How could they be better than us? Well, they weren't at full strength.
Right.
Yeah. They weren't at full strength. So just as a caveat to recognize it.
I don't know about this. I don't know about San Francisco. I just don't know about them because their record speaks for itself, right? But something just tells me that they're going to come back to the pack because their top defenders are all injured. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, you know, the receivers are okay. They've gone out and they had to go out and get Sanu. And then they cut him.
Muhammad Sanu.
They signed him, then they cut him.
Kyle knew him from Atlanta. Kyle Shanahan, the head coach.
And now all of a sudden you're looking at that, and when is Jimmy G going to be Jimmy G? I don't know about them. So when you look at it, though, you go 2 from each division. Mm-hmm. The Rams in Seattle. Then you go Saints,
Tampa
Bucks.
Bay. Yep.
That's 4. Mm-hmm. Then you go
Green Bay,
Chicago, in Dallas in the East. Mm-hmm. That's your 7 right there.
Mm-hmm. By the way, the 49ers have only beaten the Jets and the Giants, right?
Doesn't matter.
Right.
It's on your schedule.
It's on your schedule.
It's winning percentage too, right?
Yeah.
Well, no, they haven't changed it yet.
If it gets there.
We don't know if
right.
That's going to happen.
Just mention, if you didn't hear about that yesterday, essentially, if all the teams can't play an equal amount of games, everybody plays 16 over the course of 17 weeks, to Jay's point, if indeed that couldn't happen, because the Titans are already teetering on the edge of that being the case.
I feel like that's going to happen.
They could go to winning percentage. So that would just be the percent of games that you have won. Let's get to a call. Michael in Florida, you're on ESPN Radio. Zebra's fault?
Key, man, I love you, bro. I just want to let you know that. And I want to say that the Bucs should have won that game, except that so many bad calls were thrown. Ruined the game. Absolutely ruined it.
A little home cooking, right, for the Chicago Bears?
Not sure where he was in Florida, but he may have had a little, you know, if he's down near the Tampa area, I get that. Always blame the refs, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, man, you don't leave games in referees' hands. That's one of the first things that I've always learned from coaches is, if you take care of business, don't put it in the ref's hands. But when you are Chicago and you're playing defense and you're pressuring Brady 10 times and you're sacking him 3 and you're bringing the blitz at him 7-8 times during a game, you're going to create some problems. You're going to start to have people on false starts and guys jumping off sides and guys holding guys in the secondary because you're applying that pressure.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, brought to you by Nature Valley, part crunchy, part creamy, a bit sweet, and a bit salty. Nature Valley sweet and salty peanut butter bars bursting with crunchy peanuts, dipped in creamy nut butter coating, and 100% delicious. Nature Valley, we are better outside. Still to come.
Sounds good.
Is the Jets season salvaged by a Super Bowl champion? We have Bart Scott, former Jet, on the way with that.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small, and when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Man, oh man, oh man. The first voice was that of Dan Orlovsky, our ESPN NFL analyst. Jay's fired up. It's a football Friday. He played a dozen years in the league, did Orlovsky, and essentially he's saying, pretty clear, should be a forfeiture. Adam Schefter on the back end there.
I didn't say anything.
Saying, we will wait to see if there's going to be a game. We do have some clarity. It'll be the Bills and the Titans move from Sunday to Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern. We are joined by Bart Scott, 11-year NFL vet, Jets, Ravens.
What up, Bart?
The host of Bart and Han on our flagship station, 98.7 ESPN.
Han.
In New York.
You got that chain on today. I see you. I see you.
Thick neck. What's happening?
What's up, OG? Triple OG.
All right, Bart, I'm going to kill him with kindness here. You guys are just hitting him all over. All right, I'm going to ask you straight up, Bart. You just heard what Orlovsky said. Schefter on the reschedule game. Should this be a forfeiture situation for the Tennessee Titans?
Hey, Dan, quote your sources, man. Absolutely, I believe it should be a forfeit. I believe that their recklessness and their unwillingness to pay attention to the rules, this is different, right? During the lockout, it was admiration that players went out and they organized themselves. But you have to pay attention to the CDC guidelines. Understand that you have an outbreak within your organization. You can't go get together because they closed your facility down. You're trying to get an unfair advantage, but you're putting other people at risk because it's not just your team that you're playing against. You're playing against other players. You hear the fact that Patrick Mahomes is now quarantined from himself because when he played against the Patriots, Stephon Gilmore, they were talking to each other. And he doesn't want to get his pregnant wife, sick. So these are the things that we have to adhere to, understanding that, it's more than just, yourself that you're putting at risk, and we have to make sure that we do the best things and follow the guidelines, especially if the reports that they weren't really wearing their mask or enforcing their mask rules within the facilities, then I think it's reckless. They should be forced to forfeit, and they shouldn't have to inconvenience the Buffalo Bills. And also, if the game's not played, neither team gets paid, I believe, within this whole, atmosphere. So I believe if that's the case, then the Tennessee Titans should be forced to play the Buffalo Bills' salary for that week.
Well, that's a CBA thing. But I guess the question is, Bart, though, how do you prove that they didn't know, right? So I think that's the predicament that the league is going to be in.
Okay.
What exact evidence, even if you did send the memo, was it properly communicated to everybody on the team? Was it delineated the right way? That's a question I think a lot of people are going to have.
Well, understand, if you decide to say, okay, the facilities are closed, that means that the facility are closed because we need to, one, clean the facility and also keep players away from each other.
I understand then, That's called common sense. Well, I don't know if
So you get together at the high school. So if you get together at the high school, then that means that comes from above. Right. This comes from above, and you have to look at the management and the coaching staff of the Tennessee Titans saying, hey, guys, you guys get together, get a workout together, send in the scripts. And we know how that goes. Right. They send the script. Key's been there. They send the scripts over when you're not supposed to be able to practice for the organized team activities. They say, hey, here's a script. Go over here to the high school. And then you got some coach in the weeds saying, hey, do this, do that. Now, come on, man. Like they're trying to get an unfair advantage. And then, I think they have to be they've got to be held accountable for that.
Well, I think you're right in terms of assessing the accountability, no question about it.
Who ordered the code red, Key? Who ordered the code red? Somebody said go practice.
I don't know if someone said go practice. I would assume that a conversation was, excuse me, I would assume that the conversation was, go get some work somewhere. That's what I would assume.
Right, and that would be reckless, right? Because if we say that we're closing the team facility down, then in turn, you go on and practice. I don't care if you practice at a high school, a gym, wherever you're at, that's still not adhering to the rules that Dr. Allen came up, Dr. Stills came up with. So then that's reckless. So if that's the case, how you prevent this from happening in the future is by saying, hey, not only are you going to get this L, but you're going to go ahead and you're going to make sure that you're going to have to pay the opposing team's salary for the week. And I guarantee you they won't be doing that. They'll have their Zoom meetings and they'll have walkthroughs via Zoom.
No, you're right about that. Let's move to some things on the football field. Your former team, the New York Jets, quarterback now is one of your former quarterbacks in Joe Flacco.
I call him Frida.
Why are you calling Frida?
Well, when he got that money, he started getting the unibrow off. You know, he has an Anthony Davis, Burt, and Ernie eyebrow as well, so it's all good.
Stop saying Burt, Bart. Saying Burt, Bart. You almost have me call. You almost have me calling Burt. Anthony Davis, you almost have me. That's not funny.
Well, you know, Anthony Davis got the Burt going on, and then you got LeBron with Abraham Lincoln the beard. You know, it's all good.
Say, man, leave my Lakers alone. Look, check this out, though. So Flacco's in the driver's seat now at the quarterback spot. If the Jets go out and they win this football game, is that the direction you go for the rest of the year, even if Sam comes back healthy?
I don't believe so. I think this is more of an indictment on Gase and his offense being able to retrofit it to the skill set of Sam Darnold. Now, I think that Joe Flacco is going to perform well because you understand he's a veteran quarterback. He's a pocket quarterback. And every time that Gase's system has success, it's because he's had a Peyton Manning or Jay Cutler, a traditional pocket passer, when he struggled with Ryan Tannehill and Sam Darnold, more mobile quarterbacks. You know with Joe Flacco, the ball is going to come out on time. He's able to see over the defense at 6'5", 6'6", and he has a cannon for an arm. So now that means that the zones on the field are going to open up because they're going to be stretched out. You know, and it's unfair that now he's going to get maybe Perriman back, he's going to get Le'Veon Bell back, and he's going against less competition, you know, not as accomplished defenses as which, you know, Sam Darnold goes against. So he gets, you know, he gets the Chargers next week, and then Sam comes back, and then he gets the Buffalo Bills potentially, he gets the Kansas City Chiefs, and then he's going to struggle against those teams because they're much better teams. So I think it can be a bit of fool's gold thinking that, you know, Joe Flacco is going to have a great success, but I think it's more of an indictment on Gase and his inability to retrofit the offense to what Sam Darnold's skill set is. Sam Darnold should be doing exactly what Baker Mayfield's doing.
Bart, all that sounds fine. But if you're Adam Gase and you're trying to save your job, if Joe Flacco gets hot and gets rolling, you're telling me you're going to take him out of the starting lineup and then put Sam Darnold back in?
I think you have to because Joe Flacco is the past. He's not the future. He's not the guy
you're
moving
forward
with.
But if you're trying to save your job, Bart, and you know that you're on the hot seat, you have to win games. Aren't you going to play the person that helps you win games now as opposed to only thinking about the future when you're not sure that your future is actually legitimate with this organization?
Well, Flacco, like I said, Flacco, like most things are like wine, right? You know, that's good in moderation. Like, Flacco's a backup for a reason. Now, he'll win you some games, and you see Nick Foles struggle with it as well when teams start to prepare for what you can and can't do. You know, the fact that Joe Flacco isn't a mobile quarterback is going to allow him to be a sitting duck back there with an offensive line that doesn't have your number one draft pick, your outstanding left tackle, Mekhi Becton. So, of course, you know, he's going to be good in spots, but he's not going to be good for the duration of the season as teams start to prepare for him. Now, it's unfair to say to Sam that we're going to, you know, give Joe Flacco the keys to the car when all the weapons come back. We have to see what Sam looks back when Mims. We haven't seen Mims. We haven't seen Perriman. They have this Smith kid that, you know, flashed last week with 7 catches for 81 yards. And then you have Crowder as well. So I think you have to see what Joe Flacco, you know, what Sam Darnold looks like when he has the array of all the weapons. Then you can properly evaluate him. You can't properly evaluate him. He's been throwing to nobodies for the last couple of weeks.
Let me ask you one more thing before we let you get out of here about a quarterback. This quarterback plays in Tampa Bay. You had a chance to see him play last night.
Yeah.
He needed a fourth down, or a fifth down, so to speak.
Fifth floor. Bro, man from the fifth floor.
How do you beat Tom Brady? What is it, and you've done it in the past, what is it that you need to do to get him off his mark?
Well, the one thing that we've always done, and remember, Chuck Pagano was in Baltimore with us, so we had he have the book. If you look at these all these clips right here, what you see is tight man-to-man making Tom Brady have to throw into short windows and throwing the timing off of his receivers. But to do that, you still have to be able to get him off his spot. Now, it's two different ways to get him off his spot. You always want to get pressure at his feet to make him look down because he still, you know, looks down because of the knee injury, you know, because of that scar tissue in his head that, you know, he missed the entire year because somebody fell at his knees. So now you want to get pressure on him, and then you want to try and rattle him as well. Now, you can do that with interior pressure, you know, with blitzing, but it, because it's, the Chicago Bears have two outstanding outside pass rushers and the capability to push the pocket in the middle, then that's that allows you to make sure that you have somebody when you have tight man-to-man. If they get beat initially, then now they have help. So now you have tight man-to-man, you know, we call it 55 coverage, which is basically cover one with two free safeties over the top. That allows you to have two free guys to find the leakage in the coverage if anybody ever gets beat. And you saw Fuller come off, you know, peel off his man and send messages. And I thought the Bears sent messages. We used to say this all the time when we were in the room with Rex Ryan. Chuck Pagano was there. We said big hits change games as well. And you saw Fuller with the big hit changing games, letting people know that if you come across the middle, you have to pay the toll, $200 to pass go. And you may make the pass, but you're going to pay the price. And the next time you come across, those guys start looking.
Man, I'm going to eat all that. I'm going to eat that. That don't mean nothing, Bart. You talking now.
Well, I saw – listen, Key, I saw you go to sleep in Detroit one time, man. I'm a Detroit fan. Listen, and I had a huge respect for you, man. Hey. Man, they knocked the blood out your nostrils, bro. Go to sleep, Craig.
Go to sleep, Craig.
I'm in y'all before. Get up, son.
Hey,
get
look, up, son. Mark, did I not get back up two plays later and come
bro,
back in the game?
Bro,
you're
a champ, man. You're a champ, but you took that L, bro. Hey. That was on their highlight tape.
That took an L.
You, we talk about knocking snot bubbles out. They knocked the plasma out of you.
All that, and I fell right on the grass. I fell on that turf, and I scraped the side of my face, and I'll tell you doing paywall what I said on the sideline.
And your butt was tooted up in there too, man. Put your butt down, Keith.
Yep.
Get up, Craig.
You got to subscribe to get that information. Apparently, it's behind the paywall. We'll see. Free trial period for a month.
I got knocked out.
No free trial period. That's subscription automatically.
The bad thing is the quarterback yanked the safety to me and threw the ball.
That's a setup.
Yeah, it was a setup.
That's a setup.
Bart also.
Y'all must have had some arguments. You told him to throw you the damn ball. He said, not every time. He said, throw me the damn ball. Okay, here you go. You want it? You got it.
Indeed. More. If you want it, you got it. You got more with Bart coming up on Get Up, coming up in about a half hour or so, 33 minutes away on ESPN.
Bart, all right, Bert.
Have a good weekend.
Who am I? I'm Keyshawn. Wake up, Craig.
Smelling sauce.
You won. You lost. Is there two of them out here? So
all
you said
that.
It's just him.
I had all that going. Smelling sauce, everything.
Thank you, Bart. Appreciate
Ain't
it.
Ain't going to be no rematch. I got you.
See you, man. Real quick, do you agree with what he said about Tom Brady?
That's another dog.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that's what I talked about. I've been talking about since we've been on the show an hour and a half. When we first start talking about Brady, you've got to play man-to-man. Those guys have got to be able to separate and win, but you also got to get at his feet. You got to, whether it's coming from the edges or the interior, you got to press that pocket. You got to make him uncomfortable. And Bart was able to do it multiple times.
Much to your chagrin.
I forgot Chuck Pagano was in Baltimore. Forgot that.
Interesting.
Forgot that.
So your booty was really up in the air?
I'll show you the video.
I got to see the video.
Jay, you wouldn't have wanted to play football.
I don't like getting hit. No, no.
No, at all.
You hit me five times. You fouling out. That's the game I play.
This hit? Change would have changed the whole life and perspective of a lot of dudes in the NFL. My coach from junior college called me. He was my high school coach, too. He said, man, why the hell? He said it like that. But he was like, man, why the hell do you play football? Why don't you just go do something else?
Yeah, why would you want to get hit like that?
Trust me. When I go to pro games now and I'm on the sideline pregame and I'm looking at them dudes walk around, I don't know how the hell I ever did it. Mm. I swear to you.
We have an opportunity to look it up here because we're going to go to SportsCenter. And right after SportsCenter, it's make or break for the Yankees tonight. We'll talk to the guy that's going to describe every single ball and strike. Jay, you hit YouTube and we'll hit SportsCenter.
Kick is down and the kick is up. It is good! Santos for the lead, 20-19 over the Bucks with a minute 13 to go.
That was on WBBM News Radio 780. Yes, if you're just waking up this morning and you weren't able to catch the fourth quarter, the Bears over the Bucks, 2019. Tom Brady had an opportunity, 1:13 to go, could lead the Bucks down the field. All they needed was a field goal. On fourth down, he threw incomplete, and inexplicably, it appears Brady thought it was third down. Although Brady would not admit that after the game, and Bruce Arians backed up his quarterback by essentially saying, hey, he knew what down it was. We'll see. Baseball, Braves, Dodgers both advance out of the league division series to the LCS. They will meet each other for the right to go to the World Series. The Astros would also advance to the league championship series. They will take on the winner between the Yankees and the Rays tonight, 7:10 Eastern on ESPN Radio, with coverage beginning, pregame coverage at 6:45. Dan Shulman will be on the call. He will join us here in just moments. And from that Game 5 to this Game 5, NBA Finals Game 5, tonight on ABC and ESPN Radio, LeBron and the Lakers looking to close out the Heat to win their 17th championship and tie them with the Boston Celtics for the most titles of any franchise, their arch rival, the Celtics. If it means anything to you, LeBron is the best player in NBA Finals history in a closeout scenario. That's not good news for the Heat. Coverage begins on ABC at 8:30 Eastern with Countdown and on ESPN Radio, perhaps just 48 minutes left in the NBA season. And SportsCenter is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average.
Here's Gleyber Torres, who lifts a high fly ball down the left field line. Will it stay fair? Yes, it will. A two-run homer, I believe, into one of the decks of the Western Metal Supply Company down the left field line. Gleyber Torres makes it 4-1 Yankees.
I'm not sure who has a better offense, the New York Yankees or the favorite football team of our next guest. Dan Shulman is a hardcore Green Bay Packers fan. We'll save the football conversation for another day. Dan, you certainly know the Yankees can hit the long ball with the best of them, but I want to start by talking about pitching. You will be on the call tonight for the pivotal Game 5 on ESPN Radio with both Cole and Glasnow going, apparently on short rest. What do you think about this pitching matchup tonight for a spot in the league championship series?
Well, good morning, guys. Good to be with you. I mean, it's a fascinating matchup. You know, Gerrit Cole has been as good as anybody in baseball the last few years. And if you're the Yankees, this is why you got him, right? You got him to pitch and win big games in October. He'll be on short rest, 3 days rest for the first time in his career. But that's nothing compared to Tyler Glasnow, who will be on 2 days rest. He started game two, and I don't think he's going to go as deep as Cole. But Kevin Cash has been telling us on his Zoom calls with us every day, Glasnow's begging you to pitch again. Glasnow's begging you to pitch again. Well, yeah, he got his wish, and whether they get 3, 4, 5 innings out of him, who knows. But you're talking about two guys who can throw 98 to 100 miles an hour. The adrenaline will be pumping for both of them. It's going to be a great matchup.
Dan, miss calling college basketball games with you. How you
Jay
doing?
Jay Will.
You doing good, brother?
How are you, my man?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. I wanted to ask you, because I've been watching all these games. You know, obviously, Gerrit Cole, 3 days rest. Everybody's talking about rest. Is that as much of a big deal this season, considering we only played 60 games?
It's a great question, and you know, you'd like to look at it and say maybe not, because he's only made 12 starts and hasn't made 33 starts or whatever the case may be. So I think it's one of those things you don't know till the guy gets out there. I mean, he's never done it before. So he's been talking to other people on the Yankee staff about preparation and what does he do differently and how does he pace himself, and we'll find out. I mean, this is a lifetime ago, but back in, you know, Josh Beckett for the Marlins against the Yankees back in whenever it was, 03, I guess, 3 days rest, goes out and throws a complete game at Yankee Stadium to win a World Series for them. So, but it is a different time, and I would think he should be fine. I don't think they're going to ask 9 out of him, but if they can get 6 or 7 out of him, one thing for the Yankees is their top 3 relievers all pitched yesterday, obviously. Chad Green, Zach Britton, Aroldis Chapman. Green's pitched 2 days in a row, but they're going to need all of those guys. And Aaron Boone would love to only need them for 2 or 3 outs each instead of 4 or 5 outs each. So if Cole can get into the 7th inning, I think he'd be thrilled.
Dan, the Dodgers, obviously, in my eyes, maybe even in yours, are the best team in baseball right now. There's going to be 3 teams left in this whole deal. Who has the best rotation that could potentially slow these hot bats down? Is it the Astros, the Yankees? Is it the Braves? Like, who's going to be able to slow them down?
It's interesting. We've been talking, Chris Singleton and I have been talking on the air. I mean, we think all things being equal, if you're looking at the top three, it may be Tampa Bay with Charlie Morton, Tyler Glasnow, and Blake Snell. If each of them has their best game, it might be those guys. But if you look at the next round, you know, as you guys know, there are no off days. So again, it's a different schedule this year. So this round was 5 games in 5 days. The next round will be 7 games in 7 days. No off days, no travel days, nothing. So you're going to need your number four, your number five. Teams don't even really have number five guys right now. They're using bullpen days. So it could go any way. But I really think Tampa Bay might have the best group of starting pitchers and the most depth on their staff to get through it. That having been said, the Dodgers are just so good in every way. Like Urias came out and gave them, I think, 5 innings out of the bullpen last night. He could be a starter. He could be a reliever. Dustin May could be a starter. He could be a reliever. You know, and you do have Buehler and Kershaw up at the top. Overall, the Dodgers are the best team. Like, there's no doubt about that. But in terms of starting pitching and pitching depth, Tampa Bay, if they can get past the Yankees, they're dangerous.
Dan Schulman, play-by-play MLB ESPN analyst, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will and Zubin. The cheating Astros, obviously, I like to call them that because I'm a Dodger fan. When you look at that, who impressed you? Look at them. Who impressed you from that squad in the postseason?
Well, you know, Carlos Correa, who's such a talented guy, and he was obviously one of the guys right at the center of the scandal. He's been doing great. And their pitching has been surprisingly good. In my mind, Framber Valdez just goes out and has been throwing great innings for them. But they've been swinging the bats. Michael Brantley can hit. Correa can hit. Altuve's bat has come to life, which it didn't for most of the season. So, you know, nobody wants to give them credit. Everybody knows what they did. But they just went out and played two great series. Like, Minnesota had a really good year. Oakland had a great year. And Houston made it look a little bit one-sided at times, scored a ton of runs. So, you know, to me, when Altuve and Correa are going, then they're going right now. And I don't know how to explain how they were 29 and 31 during the season and how they've been so good in the playoffs. But they're good right now. I think whoever wins tonight between the Yankees and Rays goes in as the favorite. But let's remember again, say the Yankees win, and Gerrit Cole, obviously, he's pitching tonight. He can't start on regular rest until Game 4 of that series. He could start on short rest in Game 3, but are they going to throw him out there on short rest again? Like, whoever wins this series is at a disadvantage. The Astros have more rest, especially on the pitching staff, than whoever wins tonight between the Yankees and Tampa Bay.
That's a fascinating point, and Cole would be seeing his old squad and would be remembering the 2017 ALCS that was won by the Astros in 7, where every single home team won in that series. Home is a relative term, obviously, in this unprecedented 2020 season. We'll see Dan, or listen to Dan, on the call tonight. ESPN Radio pregame coverage starts at 6:45, first pitch at 7:10. Dan, go Pack, go. Thanks for joining us.
All right, guys. Thanks. Have a great day.
Thanks, Dan. One of the best guys here, man. Dan is terrific.
Dan mentioned Altuve. I was going to say with or without the mic. Well,
and as much as you hate the Astros, people do, like, I really want to see Dusty Baker win. Like, I love him. I'm torn with that.
I want to see him win, but I was at Game 7, right? And that just...
Understood.
Yeah, I don't
understood.
Like that.
Keep in mind, Dusty is 71. He is Major League Baseball's oldest manager. And many people believe, obviously, this was just a one-shot deal.
I did.
The firings,
I totally did. I thought he was just there to kind of manage it.
It still might be. You never know, right? I mean, he is 71. But it'd be a great opportunity. He's had many near misses in the postseason. So this would be a great opportunity.
71's young these days.
It is. 71, the new 81. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, brought to you by Indeed. If finding a high-impact hire is a serious goal for your business, use Indeed. Their flexible payment options mean better bang for your buck with no long-term contracts. They'll even give you a $75 credit for your first sponsored job post at Indeed.com/high-impact. Terms and conditions apply. On the way, 4 downs, the 4 biggest NFL games. Actually, we lie. We always throw a fifth one in there. But the 4 to 5 biggest NFL games this weekend, including Keys Key to the battle of the Keystone State. That is not.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
First down, Raiders at Chiefs.
What do you think, Key?
Oh, this one's easy for me. You got the Kansas City Chiefs. You got the Raiders coming in there. Patrick Mahomes, career-wise, 4-0, 11 touchdowns, one interception. Why would that change against the Raiders? The Raiders are on a downhill right now. They won their first two. They lost the last two. The Chiefs are 4-0. They are trying to get back to the Super Bowl, back-to-back winning. And look, they've got to shore some things up on the offensive side, get a little more explosive. They haven't been as explosive as they were last year, but I think that's coming against the Raiders in that secondary.
Look, I think the Raiders are headed in the wrong direction. The Raiders have given up 30-plus points in their last 2 weeks. Casey should make this three straight this Sunday. I think the Chiefs roll.
Second down, Eagles at Steelers.
This one's easy. It's Pittsburgh for me. I think when you look at the Philadelphia Eagles and you look at the boxes, check each box. Offensive line, where's that better? Pittsburgh. Quarterback, Pittsburgh. Skill positions, Pittsburgh. Defense, Pittsburgh. Head coach, Pittsburgh. I mean, Mike Tomlin is one of the top five head coaches in the National Football League. It's, you know, and Philadelphia's not playing good football right now. And Pittsburgh is.
Wentz has a 45.1 QBR this season, which ranks 29th in the NFL.
And remember, that's on a scale of 0 to 100. So there, take a test and get a 45. You're an F.
You know who's worse? Jeff Driscoll, Nick Mullins, and Dwayne Haskins. Oof. There you go.
That's some company.
Third down, Colts at Browns.
You know, I'm going to take Cleveland in this situation, although I think Indianapolis is playing good football. The Browns are two games above 500, first time since 2014. They have a chance to be 4-1 for the first time since 1994. Guess who the coach was?
Bill Belichick?
Yeah. But I think that overall, the Browns have figured out how to win football games, and I don't see why they couldn't beat the Colts. Phillip Rivers is not playing great football right now, although the Colts, 49%. Okay, well, I don't think that the FPI is right. I'm more right.
The Colts defense is incredible. I'm still going to go with the Browns here. I just think they're, even though they don't have Nick Chubb, I still think Kareem Hunt is really good. I think the options that they have offensively, I think at the end of the day, will be too much.
Fourth down, Giants at Cowboys.
Now this one here makes me laugh because the Giants are not a very good football team, and the Cowboys certainly are showing us that they're not a very good football team. So this one could come down to the quarterbacks in this one. Mm-hmm. If Dak Prescott can play four quarters of flawless football, then there's no reason the Cowboys shouldn't beat them. And I think when you look at where the Cowboys are at 1-3 and everybody's saying what happened to this team, it's just one of those deals where they've got to turn that defense around. Mike Nolan and that defense has got to start playing. And you can't have excuses about being the way you are from a defensive standpoint. Too many players on that defense is talking negative about preparation or being lazy and not going 100 miles an hour. That's too much.
Come on, FPI. They give my squad a 20% chance to win in a rivalry game?
Well, they've lost. Let me see. Let me look here.
I know it's not.
They've
really
lost. The Cowboys have won six straight games against the Giants.
I know.
Tied for the second longest win streak
in
franchise history.
Not really a rivalry anymore.
This note says,
we've yet to win a game. Cowboys have lost two straight. There'll be a sense of urgency. Giants aren't winning this game. As much as I want them to, I'm taking the Cowboys.
Bonus down. Vikings at Seahawks.
Seattle Seahawks against the Vikings, flying all the way from Minnesota all the way to Seattle. Russell Wilson is much like Patrick Mahomes is against the Raiders, undefeated against the Minnesota Vikings. He's 6-0 against the Vikings, including the playoffs. So I really don't see where this is going to change. I mean, they like to throw the ball all over the lot. Minnesota secondary has been struggling this year. DK Metcalf is one of his big targets now. I just don't see where Minnesota can go to Seattle and win this game.
I actually think this game is going to be a shootout. FPI gives Minnesota a 34% chance of winning this game. Seattle currently has the worst pass defense in the league, allowing 400 yards per game. Minnesota's gotten back-to-back 100-plus yard performances out of rookie Justin Jefferson. I still think Russell Wilson and company win this game, but I think it's going to be a shootout.
And there you have it. 4/5 downs with the KPI, the Keyshawn Power Index, right? Look at the football power
like
index,
that.
The Keyshawn Power Index.
I like that.
In full effect. So we do that every Friday, 4 downs, getting you set for the best
Watch
games.
The Giants win.
I want them to win.
The Giants going to win. Minnesota will win. The Colts will win. The Eagles won't win.
1-2-1, and in first place for the Birds. All right, so the first two games we talked about in 4 downs were scheduled for 1 p.m. Eastern. They hope to go off. The second two were scheduled for 4:25 Eastern, and then Sunday night football between the Vikings and the Seahawks at CenturyLink Field. Those appear to be set, but there's a lot of movement going on with the schedule here in Week 5 and with regard to teams moving start times. Let's start with the Broncos and the Pats. That game is scheduled to be played Sunday afternoon in the late afternoon window. Instead, it's moving to Monday at 5 Eastern, and you'll watch it on ESPN. And then right after that, the traditional Monday game that had been set for months between the Chargers and the Saints. Keep in mind, this is the second straight week the Pats have had to do this, go from Sunday to Monday. The bigger story, of course, is the Titans, because they have the biggest outbreak. They were scheduled to play the Bills on Sunday afternoon at LP Field in Nashville. Instead, that game is being moved to Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern. That is if Tennessee can cross some thresholds, which we'll talk about in just 1 second. If that game does go off on Tuesday, there's a small issue for the Buffalo Bills. They were scheduled to play the Chiefs on Thursday, so there's no way they're going to play a game on Tuesday and obviously play a game on Thursday. So that Chiefs-Bills game, Mahomes-Allen, that could be a lot of fun. That would be moved to later in the weekend. Adam Schefter reporting it's firm the game would be on Sunday. So they'd move it from Thursday to Sunday. There's a lot to think about there. But the reality is everything stops and starts, let's be honest, with the Tennessee Titans. Our Diana Russini, who has been on this story from their outbreak from the very beginning, joined us earlier this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin and said today is vital. The line of demarcation, the line drawn in the sand, whatever you want to say, today is a massive day for the Tennessee Titans.
Yesterday, Titans players, they went in as they normally do every single day for their test. And this morning, the league should release the results of that test at some point later this morning, maybe even this afternoon. So we'll be able to know whether or not that game will be played. And Zubin, the most important aspect of this is the Titans have to test negative for COVID. They cannot have any positive results here. Otherwise, that game is in severe jeopardy, which is scheduled right now to be played on Tuesday at 7 o'clock Eastern.
And Diana continues to work the story. If there's anything more definitive or another positive test comes out, she'll join us on the radio to make sure she can give us the latest information. That's the key, though, Key. You can go over 20 tests, 22, 23 tests, a couple here, drip out here, a couple drip out there. She's basically saying, that's it. Tighten it. No more.
Well, they've had a few drips, right? I mean, and so every day it was seeming like there was a Titan, Tennessee Titan, or somebody in the facility that was testing positive. Now they've moved the game, and so that's not far away. That's like 3-4 days away. They've got to travel, whatever the case may be. You don't need any more tests because now you got one. I mean, no more positives. You get one, and let's say it's one. Then you wait and zoom in for to see what other people's results are, and then they come back positive. Now what?
Quickly, no positive test in Tennessee this morning. Schefter just breaking that literally 1 minute ago, no positive test. So that threshold they've had to meet for now has been met. Now you got to cross your fingers and hope nothing else happens around the rest of the league.
Yeah, and I'm sure they'll continue to keep testing and monitoring the situation.
Still to come, the Lakers get disrespected the night they could win the title and why it could be the biggest night in franchise history. That's it.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.